Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Here we go. 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 This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nitty Delaney. So what?
It's the Friday episode. It's slightly later than usual. We apologise for that. That's because Sam had a prior engagement, which was much more pressing and important. He's been working for the BBC, everyone.
Anti-Beam called me up and I shut up and stood to attention.
I stood up to attention, saluted, as when do you want me and where? So, yeah, you've been, what, Five Live? What was that about?
Five Live with Christian Guru Murphy.
Oh, fucking and, hell, big time.
Yeah, he was covering for Adrian Charles. And from time to time, I do like the news review. It's from 10 to 11. It's quite long. They have someone else on it. And it was me and a woman who is the editor of the House magazine, which I think is the in-house House of Commons magazine. House. Yeah. I don't. Maybe it's a music. Maybe it's about house music. I don't know. But yeah, well, we had quite a robust debate on it, to be honest. But a guy, a listener to the show called Joe Scouse Joey, got in touch and said, oh, it reminds me. He said it reminded him of another appearance I'd done on Five Live. He said where I more or less told the person I was debating with, "You fucking do it, right?" And it got, and he said, "I've no fucking memory of this, Andy." He goes, "Yeah, it got really awkward. Adrian Charles had to intervene and start talking about West Ham to distract you, right?" And I'm there, and I'm thinking, "Fuck me!" In the post sort of Pharmacy Gate era. Or just, when Pharmacy Gate happened, you said quite an astute thing, which was, I think basically, you've got so used to doing this podcast and just not really thinking before you speak and just saying sort of mad shit for a laugh, you no longer can distinguish between doing your podcast and doing something on mainstream media. And I'm like, I say shit, and it's that thing of like, you're almost too relaxed. Also, the other thing is that now I don't go in. I don't have to iron a shirt and go into a fucking studio. I'm sat here in my tracksuit at home, sitting at the same desk in my bedroom that I speak to you at every day.
Yeah.
So then these people come on, they start asking me questions. I couldn't even see them. I was just literally on the phone, mate. And I was just like, yeah, I don't fucking know, like that. And then you hear these long pauses where you can sort of think and think, why is this bloke drunk or something? And then I realise, oh, fucking hell, I've gone through the looking glass, haven't I?
I'm fucking TF Time Machine.
There's people fucking reporting to me shit that I apparently said fairly recently on the radio that I have no recollection. Like, I just have a fucking blackout and start speaking in tongues.
So what were you bickering about then with this lady from the House magazine?
Well, first of all, we were talking about, you know, violence against women, right? Mm-hmm. And they would say, what should we do? Everyone's going, what should we do? Should we sack the head of the Met? Right. And I was like, listen, and like Christian, do you think we should sack the head of the Met? I said, I was more or less saying, Andy, I don't really care about that. There's been reports done about the state of society and violence towards women, and it's been described as an epidemic. Mm. I said, so actually saying let's sack the head of the Met because of this Sarah Everard horrible case is not, I said, it's like, maybe Saka, I don't know. Don't know enough about it. But we have to look at a sickness in our society, right? Yeah. There is a sickness in our society that men are carrying out so many violent acts against women. And you have to look much deeper than who the fucking head of the police force is to fix that.
That's not even a sticking plaster. It's just the smallest gesture that could possibly be done.
Exactly. It's pointless.
It should
symbolism.
Be done, but.
So, exactly. Yeah. So I said, yeah, probably yes, but, you know. Then he goes, he gave me a leading question because he went, how much of a role do you think poverty plays in this? And I went, yeah, massive. I hadn't thought of that at all, right? But I just started going, yeah, well, you know, we've lived with over 10 years of austerity. I said, you know, it must be a factor in all crime and all violence on the rise when you have had, like, generations of people, men, growing up in poverty with no opportunities, crumbling communities around them, no stability in their lives. I said, this has emotional and mental consequences on everyone. And, you know, a lot of crime stems from emotional and mental problems. And poverty is very often the root cause of those problems. And so we have to look at that, right? We have to look at deep issues in society like that. And she went, well, actually, I think that sounds, I couldn't disagree more, because there are plenty of people in the higher echelons of society who did have private education and plenty of money, and they're still violent towards women. I don't think that a woman who has got money is protected from violence. And I said, well, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not here to defend the rich and say it's only the poor people who are doing it. But if you ask me if poverty is a factor in any kind of crime, my answer is always going to be yes. It can't be no. You can't go, no, poverty's not relevant to crime.
No, nothing to do with it. Nah. Nah, it's not that, mate. Next question.
You got to be joking. I mean, like, you know, I'm skint myself, but I ain't going back battering the missus about, because that's not going to help, is it? Nah, it's not to do with money. It's to do with fellas. They need to express themselves. Do you know what I mean? I was just saying to her, look, I'm not saying that. She was trying to sort of, like, draw some sort of polarising argument where I was saying it's only poor people who are... She fucking flipped on me and tried to make out that I was saying that it's only poor people who fucking murder women.
Is that because you've got a regional accent? Is that why you asked
well,
her
I
that,
I don't know,
think?
Because she was suggesting that I was the Tory, in a way. Because she was going, oh, right. You think this is only the lower classes. But believe me, it happens in the rich, posh classes as well.
And what you'd said was, it is partially a factor in
I said
some
partially
crimes.
A factor, it's not the only factor. Yeah. Anyway, I'm going back over it now. I didn't have a problem with her. It was just a confusion. But we talked about other things as well, like the Labour leader, the petrol crisis, and so
time,
on and so forth.
Good time.
Yeah,
for stuff.
I said, you know, look at this society. I said, it's a joke. We're a laughing stock. Society is crumbling. No, the reason people are going mental in the forecourts of petrol stations is no one's got faith in anything the government says, and for good reason, right? If we had good leadership, and we felt they were calm and stable and said, there is a problem, but we are handling it. And you thought, yeah, I think they will handle it. Then you wouldn't go out and have a fucking row in an Esso, would you?
Yeah. But isn't that what they want, though? Isn't that what they fundamentally want? Fear and confusion from the masses.
They surely can't want people fighting in the Esso.
I don't think they're bothered. I don't think they don't want it.
Do you think they see it like Mandingo fighting? And
maybe.
They like,
I don't know.
They've engineered a scenario where they can make peasants fight and they all sit around laughing uproariously.
Fucking,
look at them.
Yeah, why not? Why wouldn't they do that?
And they've probably got their own fucking pipeline of luxury petrol that goes directly into the fucking into Downing
Sucking
Street.
Super unleaded, yeah.
Him and that Doris of his in their fucking... with their trotters up in Downing Street.
Yeah.
And you know what those cunts do? They fucking put it in the freezer and they make fucking petrol-flavoured ice pops. And then they sit in front of the box watching fucking peasants fight up the Esso, licking their fucking petrol ice pops and laughing their heads off.
While their fucking dogs running around shitting all over the carpet that we fucking paid for.
And their £1 million fucking wallpaper made of fucking gold and chinchilla is all over their fucking walls.
Speaking of which, have you seen that Salt Bay steak fucking guy?
That cunt, yeah.
It's all over Twitter. I don't think he's a cunt. I think he's great.
Yeah.
I think the people who are paying 650 quid for a bit of fucking steak that he dances around while slicing up, they're the cunts. But if he's fucking taking that kind of money for a steak...
It always seems to be footballers. The first time I saw him was ages ago. I saw him over a year ago and he was doing... he was putting a bit of salt on David Beckham's steak for him.
Yeah.
And David Beckham was sat there with a massive big fucking dopey grin on his face.
He bounces it off his fucking forearm, doesn't he, onto the dinner.
And Beckham's there with the fucking face like, he's, you know, me in Christmas 1984 when I've just unwrapped a Millennium Falcon. He was like...
Do you know what it reminds me of? Do you know what it reminds me of? The Autoland thing. It's the Autoland thing again.
It is.
And these
it's
people
Autoland
should really have
again.
Fucking muslin sheets over their heads to conceal who they are and conceal their shame because they paid 650 quid.
If this gets the rich folk off of eating the Autolands, then I'm happy. Although I think it's daft. This Autoland business, it had to stop, mate. And if this bloke with the salty steak is going to at least go some way to fucking stopping the poor little Autolands being eaten whole.
There's two clips that I've seen. The first one where he's flamboyantly slicing up the steak and then he puts a bit of it on the end of the knife and feeds it into the guy's mouth. Which is just...
He's so weird, mate. He's like some sort of sleazy... I don't know. I don't want him touching my food. He looks like he might have, like, spunk on his hands.
No, it's not for us, though. It's not for us, Sam. Let them have their little steak playground.
You don't get that in the Toby Carvery, mate.
Ridiculously expensive steak. Let them fucking get on with it. If he's fleecing these cunts for 650 quid minimum per shot, then fucking get on with it. But the second clip I've seen, he's got some bread. He's doing steak sandwiches. He's got some bread, and he just rips it apart with his hands. And it's not even neat or anything. And then he puts it in this fucking... on this grill thing that's got a bit of oil in, and he's pushing the steak around and cooking the steak in the oil. You can see it like browning nicely, and the bread's in there, and he's pushing it around in this fucking oil, and it looks fucking vile, to be honest. Oily bread with steak on it, and he's knocking that out for I don't know what, 500 quid. Good luck to him.
Fucking hell.
These cunts are stupid enough to fucking pay for it.
For all we know, it's fucking frozen steak as well that he's got at the Iceland or something.
Who knows? It's the best steak, isn't it? Tin of stew and steak. Made by Stag.
That's what he's like. Backstage, he's like, oh, fucking knock out some stewing steak. We got Beckham in again. Silly bastard, he don't know the difference between a fucking bit of steak and a rive eater. You fucking serve anything up to him with a bit of song and dance and he's clapping like a fucking seal.
So, yeah, I'm well in favour of him doing it. Good luck. Good luck, Salt Bay, whatever your name is. I went to see Genesis last night, which is a sentence I never thought I'd utter. But there you go. Nah. I got a half-price ticket off Ticketmaster resale, and I thought, fuck it, I'm going to go because I want to see Phil. And I was right down at the front.
Before he dies, which I hate to say it, he probably will quite soon.
It doesn't look well. Although, having said that, he seemed to get, his voice got stronger and stronger as the gig went on. He started off and he was a bit kind of raspy and he was looking a bit grizzled. He's got a little, one of those beards that fucking ill men have. It's not really a full beard, but it's just kind of a half beard. He's got that going on, and he was all grizzled, and he was pulling fucking grizzled faces and everything in the first couple of songs, but then he kind of grew into it, so it was obviously a bit of fucking, he was playing it up a little bit at the beginning, and his voice is a lot better than you might think for the state that he's in, but it was fucking great, and the best bit of it was that his son's playing drums for him now, because Phil can't play drums anymore. His son's on the drums. His son is a fucking great drummer. But there were bits when Phil kept turning around on his little swivelly stool that he's on, turning around and just watching his son playing the drums.
Aww.
And I just thought, that is fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
It was just, that just really got us, it did.
That's how I feel when I watch Len playing FIFA 22 when he gets in.
Yeah, I bet.
It was released today. Yeah. I know you had it on like pre, or you had the VIP package, so you've had it a few days.
We did.
But today, us commoners got it today. Yes. And Len was up at like 5 o'clock, fucking pacing around in circles, just shouting that
like
today's
Christmas
the
day.
Day. It was exactly like Christmas Day. And he left it downloading when he went to school. And they let you play just a simple game while it's downloading. So we had a couple of normal games, but he wants to get balls deep into it. And that's how I feel.
That's his weekend, isn't it?
When he comes in, he'll be sitting there. I can tell he's trying to wriggle out of coming to West Ham Brentford on Sunday because he sees that as wasted FIFA time. But fuck that. Mm. That's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
You're fucking coming, son. You're coming to watch the Emmers, I tell you that much.
Oh, the other thing. The other thing, what was it? The highlight, possibly, of the Genesis gig was standing in the queue. There was a fucking really long queue to get in because of, you know, COVID and everything, and they search everybody now at the arena when you're trying to get in and all that. So it takes ages, and they started late. But we're in the queue. It took about 15 minutes to get in, and this woman in the queue, she says, "This COVID has really got a lot to answer for."
Well, she's not wrong, mate.
There we go. There it is.
She's right.
That's COVID in a nutshell, in one sentence. Yeah. A great T-shirt. This COVID has really got a lot to answer for. Because we had fucking to queue 15 minutes to get to see Genesis.
What was the best bit? Was it when they did Turn It On Again?
That was right near the beginning when they did Turn It On Again, yeah.
Turn It On. Did they do all the hits,
that was
mate?
Good. Most of the hits, yeah. Some of the obscure stuff, some of the weird prog stuff. They did a couple of instrumentals for people who needed to go to the toilet.
I'd have gone for a fucking St. Clements at that point.
There was a lot of audience participation where Phil was getting different sections of the crowd to whoop and raise their hands and all that kind of thing. He's a showman.
Yeah, of course. I mean, he's a pro. He's been doing it for years, mate.
Of course he is. Of course he is.
Fucking knows what he's not playing games.
I've not really ever been a big Genesis fan, but like when they did all hits, and I thought, I love this one as well. This is great. Am I a Genesis fan now? What the fuck happened?
Well, the thing is, with me, like my good wife is sort of like the one with the real music taste in our household, and over
musical
the
director.
She's the musical director of the family, and over the years, when we were like young, she had cool music taste, but then strangely would have bands that were seemingly like terminally uncool, like for instance Genesis being one of them, also in her cassette collection, as it was at the time. Mm-hmm. And I never understood it because I was teenager in my 20s, you're very purist, right? And you're like, what the fuck's this? What have you got? These fucking shit bands, like, this is so weird. And she'd be like, no, it's really good. And she had the balls to sort of... And over the years, each band that I condemned her for when we were younger, I've slowly discovered are, in fact, excellent. And Genesis is just one of those ones that I'm not that into Genesis, but I know that ultimately it's inevitable. I know every band that she ever had in the background of her cassette collection, it's an inevitability as I get older, it will be something that catches up me. And I'll be like, oh, it was good because it was only cultural prejudices that were preventing me from seeing that at the time.
The only time I've kind of been into Genesis was when they brought that Invisible Touch album out in 86, which was their massive hit album, both sides of the Atlantic. And it got Invisible
Phil
Touch.
Was fine
Land of Confusion.
That was like, Phil had all his fucking mega solo hits, and then he goes back to his original band, and they have a hit that compares in sales to his own hits. Plus, he was producing every other cunts. I mean, the money that was Phil's stuff.
That was Phil's Imperial Fears. We've talked about it before. That was Phil's Imperial Fears. And I was into Genesis for that album. But there's an argument that your true musical tastes are formed when you're between like 12 and 16.
Mm.
And stuff that you love then is the pure stuff that you will really love and you'll go back to when you're older.
Yes.
So maybe that's what's happened, because I loved Genesis for a bit then in 86 for that album. And I've just gone back. I'm there again.
Kind of makes
I probably
sense
thought
to me,
they were shite when the next album
I always say
the next album came out like a few years later, which was We Can't Dance, I think, and I probably thought that was shite.
That
I was working at Outprice then. I was working at Outprice, so that wasn't cool.
Yeah, you were judging
like,
every
Genesis
cunt who came in and bought that, weren't you?
I wasn't 14, I was 22, so my musical tastes were completely defined by the NME and John Peel and Melody Maker. So, but it's probably a good album. Having said that, they did do I Can't Dance in the encore, and that's when I left because I wanted to beat the traffic, beat the crowd.
Yeah,
I'm not really into the I Can't Dance song. Nah,
I found it really. I remember seeing a video for it and just hating them so much.
Yeah,
it's a stupid song to brag about. You can't dance. You know, you might not be able to dance well, but you can fucking dance.
Phil can't dance because he's in a swivel stool.
But I tell you what, you can see him in the video for You Can't Hurry Love. And the bloke is dancing, he's a liar.
Oh, he dances. He's a dancer.
Yeah.
Or he was.
Anyway,
so,
well done.
So, yeah, that was Genesis.
Well done, Phil. Well done, Andy, for getting tickets to see Genesis. I mean, I'd be a hero in my house if I got my wife tickets for Genesis. I might look into that. Long shot.
Jalapeño.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you wouldn't be hearing this brief but annoying message if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clements each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Jalapeño.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with five different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jalapeño.
I went to West Ham versus Rapid Vienna last night. It's really exciting to see a team playing in Europe. I mean, you know, it's not Champions League, but it's Europa League. They'd invested in some... They even sent an email out, right? West Ham. This is classic West Ham. Right. Dear club member, we know you're coming.
Dear cunt.
We're going to play in Rapid Vienna, who are foreign tonight. We don't know where they're from, but... You know,
but we're charging you extra. If you've got a season ticket, you've got to pay extra
for your own fucking seat you've already bought.
Yeah, first things first.
But do you know what they said? They literally sent us an email quite last minute going, get there early, because we've invested in some of them fire shooters. Because they thought last minute, we're in the Europa League. We better make a big deal out of it. This is our first home Europa League game, right? And we've got to make a big deal out of it. So Karen Brady's gone out really last minute and fucking managed to get hold of some of those things that shoot flames up. And she's got them. And she's had them put them around the fucking pitch. I just picked a job lot up from a geezer I know in Dagenham, right? He wouldn't tell me where he got them from, but he wanted to shift them pronto. So I fucking cashed in. So she's like, fuck me, we'll be firing these four games and all them fucking cunts will be in the juicer until fucking 5 minutes before kickoff.
Yeah.
Right, have an email sent round telling them to get there early, because if not, it's money down the drain. They literally sent an email like, get there early or you'll miss the fire, and we've invested specially.
Get there early, because these fire shooters have ended up costing more than we thought they were going to. So we need your catering money to pay for them.
Yeah, and I will be there fucking... poor old David Gold will have to be scuttling around chucking fucking petrol onto the flames. And that's not fucking cheap. I can tell you, all easy to come by. Not this week. Oh, it's funny. But we were talking about some Viennese sausages. We were in the bar and we were talking about how funny it was that they'd told us to get there early to look at the fire. But then, through a gap from the bar, I could see that the fire had started. And literally, in the middle of the conversation, I just went... Fuck, I have to go and see this. And I ran up to my seat because I really was hypnotised by the fire. It was fucking great.
I mean, fire is really hypnotic.
I thought it's fucking tacky, what a load of bollocks. But they switched off the floodlights and they played this operatic music that's like a budget version of that, the champions music. And they started shooting firing into the sky and I was like, fucking hell, this is an amazing experience. I mean, I'm not saying it was as good as going to see Genesis, but it was a similar sort of vibe.
Yeah. I'd have been up for that. I'd have gone and fucking stood and watched that. I love fire, mate.
Yeah, it was really good. And then it was a pretty poor game, but we won. And there was also a load of aggro because the Vienna fans turned up and all wanted to have a fight. They're all jumping out of their fucking seats, trying to get into the West Ham bit, chucking stuff.
Really?
Yeah, it was quite exciting.
Old school.
Yeah. It was really old school, yeah.
So, good night then. Did you win?
Yeah, we won 2-0. We're top of our group in Europa. Nice. I think we're probably going to win the Europa League.
Yeah. Well, best of luck with that. Lovely stuff. Just a little update. If you are IFS Turbo, we're going to do a live video stream thing tonight where we're going to look at the Book of Monsters. If you're interested in coming on and showing us your favourite ball... or anything else, really. We'll do the show and tell.
It's very relaxed because it's just for the Turbo crew. So it's very relaxed. It's not like Brown John, which was a huge multi-million pound production.
High production values.
We'll both be sat in our rooms and we want you to... And we'll just chat, and you can ask us questions. You can ask us for a little bit of advice. We'd love to see your bowls. And if you want to talk about monsters with us, that's fine too. Especially if you've got a good monster story, like you've had any encounters with monsters, we're always up for that.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Tell us about that. You can either come on if you want, if you've got a story to tell or something to show us, email us at contact@tftimemachine.com.
Title your email, live stream, so we know, because we get loads of emails, don't we? So it's like good if they do a special one, if it's that they want to appear on tonight.
No, that's all the other emails are coming into the other one.
Oh, okay.
You know, the badge addresses. Email us at contact@tftimemachine.com or get in touch on Twitter. We might not see it. Or if you've got any questions, put them in the comments bit when we're doing it later on. 8:30, be about half an hour, maybe 40 minutes if it gets a fucking bit of steam under it. And it'll be all right. It's Friday night, isn't it? Friday Night Live.
It's going to be, fun yet relaxed. Like a wank in the afternoon. Fun.
Pretty much.
Fun but right.
In the evening.
I was talking to a bisexual mate earlier, right? And I was like, what's the latest in the bisexual community? Come on, fill us in, what's going on? What's the latest trends? No, I was talking about
the
difference between getting wanked off by a bloke and a Doris. And I said to him, each their own, but I cannot begin to fucking accept that a wank off from a bloke is anywhere near as good as a wank off from a bird, because birds have soft hands and are gentle by nature. And men have calloused hands, don't they, from working at the foundry and all that.
Yeah. I have two things to add to that.
Mm.
One, if the man was to wear a snooker referee's glove, that's really soft.
Oh, lovely.
That could cover the calloused hands. I would give it an added kind of frisson. Secondly, men know what works and what doesn't work with a wank.
Yeah, there is
so
that.
I'm not ruling it out. That's all I'm saying.
Then we started talking about blowies. And I said to him, I've always thought, and this is not a reflection on my good wife, let me tell you, many women have sucked off old fish cake. Old Beeping Timmy in his youth, right? And all
boring
I'm
John.
Saying is that Boring John, yeah. Oh, Boring John wants a blowy.
Come here. The dog see the rabbit.
But no, I just think they're overrated. I said, I know it's not trendy to say that, but I think it's one of those cliched things that you'd see in like GQ magazine. It's really old school. You know, like blowjob on a steak night. It's the kind of thing that James Bond would be into. It feels very old school. Like, yeah, I've got a blowjob. And do you know what as well? There's a faint whiff of misogyny to it when it is a heterosexual thing, because it's sort of like, yeah, bow to me. Do you know what I mean? And what I'm saying is, my age, I said, I'd rather all that blowjob on a steak stuff. I'd be much happier with like just a boob fondle and a sandwich in front of the telly
and a cup of tea.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like blowjobs, what a fucking hassle for both parties.
Mm.
She's going at it.
Yeah.
You're getting nowhere. And I'm like, oh yeah, this is all wow. But really, you're just thinking, oh fuck's sake. Anyway, so I just thought I'd say that blowjobs, blowjobs overrated? Question mark. Get in touch, let us know your thoughts.
Nah, I don't think they are.
You don't think they're great. You think they're all right. Nah. But like...
Yeah.
Do you think they're like excellent? Or do you think they're all... I'm not saying they're shit. I'm not going to turn one down, but...
I'm pro blowjob. There you are, I said it.
All right. Well, there we go. This is interesting. This is what it's all about. This is like being back on TalkSport.
It's all about opinions, isn't it?
It's all about opinions. Yeah. We've all got opinions. You're listening to TalkSport. I say blowjobs are overrated. Andy says they're fucking great.
They're all right.
What do you think? You know the number. Get in touch. I've heard what you got to say. And, you know, fair point. Sometimes blowjob ain't all it's cracked up to be. But overall, I think if you look back over the years... All things considered, I'm with Andy. Blowjobs are decent, you know.
I think it depends on who's giving it. You know what I mean? Some birds is more experienced than others. They've got a bit more sensitive. Some of them's old teeth. I mean, imagine getting a blowy off Jenna Street Porter.
Oh, no
way, mate.
No, not what I'm thinking about. No way. Or it's the ransom. Can you imagine? No way. She'd sever it. I'll tell you what, I don't envy that. Who was Esther Ransom married to? Someone famous, wasn't she?
Oh, he was a fucking, I forgot his name now. He was like a scientist or something, wasn't he?
He's not that scientist who does all the stuff about kids' development.
No, Stephen Hawking. Oh, I've watched the Stephen Hawking film on Sky. That's really good. It's light on the science, and it's more about the soap opera element of his life. Desmond Wilcox, that's a cunt.
Yeah, I don't envy him. I don't envy Desmond Wilcox. No way. He's a good scientist. I've got nothing against him. I'm just saying I don't envy him if he's getting sacked off by that all his married life.
I'd take an ad job from Ransom because I've watched That's Life when you can see her hands on that and they're very soft, yeah. Clearly.
Plus, she's very professional, isn't she? She'd get the job done.
Yeah. Yeah, she's used to... She does live telly, so she's used to deadlines.
And pressure.
So I think rhythmically, she'd be really good. Yeah.
She can think about too. She's a sort, you know... Telly presenting, you've got to be the sort of person who can pat your head and rub your tummy simultaneously. Do you know what I mean? So for me, Ransom is a hand job situation. Blowy, well, you're looking at Jenny Powell or from the Bangles, isn't you? I mean, that's the dream.
There's the top two. Or Grace Jones. That's your, I'd like to be sucked to death by Grace Jones.
That's your Champions League places for me. Anyway, cheers.
Grace Jones biting it off and then spitting it in my face. That would be the best way to die, I think.
See, Stephen.
Would die, wouldn't you?
Stephen Hawking's right. I saw the other day, sometimes what happens is on WhatsApp groups, people send you screenshots of texts from someone that are really funny. Right. And you don't really know the person. This bloke is a friend of a friend, so I know him by reputation. I don't think I've ever met him. And there's no other way of describing him than a hooligan, a terrible, awful hooligan, sort of madman. Mm-hmm. Not a West Ham fan. Not West Ham fan, because I don't know him through that. I know him through, like, other friends. But this text came, and he was going to visit his mate in Nottingham, right? Mm. And his mate was in Nottingham, and he'd heard that his mate's daughter was now going to Nottingham University, right?
Right.
So he sent this text going, "Mate, I cannot wait to see you. Up in fucking Nottingham, I've missed you. I can't wait to see you at the weekend. It's going to be fucking great. I hear your Sarah's at uni now. Lovely to hear. Now listen, has she got a boyfriend yet? Because that doesn't wait for an answer. Only I was thinking, while I'm up, you might as well, if she does have a boyfriend, invite him round to the house to make sure that we're there at the same time. That way, when she's gone to the Kazi or to make a cup of tea," really detailed, completely based on an imaginary situation, right? And this is 2 days in advance of him going to visit his mate. "That way, when she's in the Kazi or gone to make a cup of tea, I can take him aside and have a little word with him and tell him," right? This is what he wrote. He goes, "If you ever fuck her around, cheat on her or knock her about, right, let me tell you, you will have me to answer to, and you will be doing the rest of your fucking degree like Stephen fucking Hawking in a wheelchair talking through a fucking computer, you cunt." And then he just goes, anyway.
Talking through a fucking computer.
Yeah, but it's about a man that doesn't exist, Andy. That's the mad bit about it. And then he just goes, anyway, can't wait to see you, mate. I'll be up on the midday train.
What? No, she hasn't got a boyfriend yet, as it happens.
Thanks. Oh, well, I regret investing so much thought and imagination into it then. Didn't wait for an answer. Man. Just like saying what he was getting, the speech that he prepared for this fictional boyfriend.
Jesus Christ, men.
Strange, isn't it?
Men.
Funny
business. Just stick to talking about hypothetical blowjobs from Esther Ransom rather than fucking coming up with scenarios like that. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I would accept a blowy from Esther Ransom. Joking aside.
Would as well.
It'd be amazing.
Yeah, very much so. Mm. Of course it would. if you're listening, Esther. Should we do some football predicting?
Yeah.
we end up in trouble. Here we go. Burnley versus Norwich.
Oh, fuck you now. Makes me feel depressed just hearing that.
Exactly. Oh, what do you do with that?
Burnley Norwich, 2-0 Burnley.
2-0 to Burnley. I'll go 1-0 Burnley. I'll go 1-0. Although Norwich are fucking awful. No, I'm going to go 2-0. That's all right to replicate your prediction, fine, isn't mate. It? Yeah. Thank you. Liverpool versus Manchester City next. This is me first. Oh, my Liverpool versus Manchester City. 1-1.
2-1 Liverpool.
Okay. West Ham versus Brentford. Sunday, 2 p.m.
There'll be no fire at this game because we can't afford it, 2 games we're adding.
Turn up wherever you want.
We might have a couple of inflatable beach balls blowing about if you're lucky.
We spanked all the money.
If you want pre-match entertainment, you can look at these balls bring that we've own. Inflated.
Don't bring some fucking fans or something. Just fucking wave stuff around. Don't have to.
Do what West you want, Brentford. Cunts. What's your prediction? It's your turn.
You're 2 first.
Oh, okay. 2-1 West Ham.
2-1 West Ham. 2-2. Sorry.
He's gone for a Desmond. Keep underestimating
Portsmouth
West Ham.
Versus...
We're on a completely mad winning streak. What's the...
It's got to end soon, though, hasn't it?
No,
Brentford are decent.
I'm telling you, we're really good. We're a really good team. I mean, you know, yeah, of course, you can lose in any game. We could lose or draw that game, maybe. But irrespective, I'm telling you, I know it's mad, and a few seasons ago when Pellegrini was in charge, I said we were going to win the league. That was all daft bluster. What I'm telling you right now is West Ham are actually a good team. We're not going to get turned over by anyone this year.
All right, Portsmouth versus Sunderland. I think this is going to be 2-1 Sunderland.
I'll go 1-0 Sunderland.
Finally, Barnsley versus Millwall. What do you reckon?
Barnsley versus Millwall, I'll say 3-0 Barnsley.
3-0 Barnsley. I think that would be 2-1 to Barnsley. That's the predictions. That's the show. It's the weekend coming up. We'll see you this evening from 8:30 if you're on Turbo and you want to watch us. We'll send out a link about 20 minutes before it starts for you to watch it.
Get there early because we might have fire.
So yeah. We fucking definitely won't. So you can leave comments and shit and get in touch if you fancy being involved and get on and show us your ball or anything else, really. That's it. Thanks very much. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.